Imagine that when you came into the church this afternoon for your usual Sunday Mass, because people pretty much go to the same Mass every week, imagine that the reader stood up here and read not from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, but instead a selection from the ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle. And then the second reader stood up and read not from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, but from one of Bill Gates' letters to the stockholders of Microsoft Corporation. Even if what was read was interesting, even if it was informative, you would be able to tell right away that something was different and that something was missing. The Word of God. The Word of God. Today is the Sunday of the Word of God, an innovation of Pope Francis. He introduced it back in 2019. Here in the Philippines, today is also National Bible Sunday. That's why there's a Bible on display here in front of the sanctuary. The idea is the same. Sunday of the Word of God, National Bible Sunday. It's an opportunity to reflect on the importance of the Word of God, of the Bible, in the life of the church and in our own lives. Why do we read the Bible at every single Mass? And why do we not read some of the great writings of the different scientists and philosophers and experts of all kinds? Precisely because the Word of God is not like any of those other writings. They have their value, yes, but the Word of God has greater value. Everything else, classics of literature, the wisdom of past generations, innovations of technology, old and new, these are all human words. And we live in a world filled with human words, more than ever, flooded with words. Many of them, if not most of them, are a waste of time. Advertising, gossip, boasting, lies, just background noise all the time. Last year, one of the big dictionary companies declared that the word of the year was slop. S-L-O-P, an old word, but with a new meaning. They say, and I have never heard this, but this is what they said, slop describes the endless waves of low-quality digital content, online content, usually nowadays produced by AI. So just absurd videos, fake news, fake announcements, distorted images, and all kinds of other things. But human words, and even less AI-generated words, are seldom, if ever, life-giving or life-changing. But the Word of God is something different. It's also a human word, but it's also a divine word. The Bible is 100% human and 100% divine. It's not a dead message from centuries ago. It's alive. The divine word has a unique power. It is light in the darkness of this world. It is wisdom for our confusion. It is divine revelation. It's God's gift of himself to us. After all, Jesus himself is the word, the divine word, the word made flesh. Perhaps that's why Pope Francis, when he thought of this Sunday, he decided to put it right after the Christmas season. Right after we celebrate the Word made flesh, made present among us. You might have noticed that in today's Gospel, there is a long quotation from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And it's not an accident that today's first reading is that very reading that's quoted in the Gospel. So we have the Bible quoting the Bible. The evangelist Matthew, he says that Jesus' ministry in Galilee was the fulfillment of the words of Isaiah the prophet. So that means God knew when he inspired Isaiah to utter this prophecy some 800 years earlier, this prophecy about light and about joy, about light, the great light to the people in darkness. He knew, God knew, that it would be fulfilled 8 centuries later with the coming of Jesus Christ. And God also knew when he inspired Isaiah and when he inspired St. Matthew that through these words he would also be speaking to us today in January 2026. He knew what we would need to hear today, and we do need his word because we don't get it from anyone else. We don't need only a record of what he said a long time ago. What we need is also what he is saying to us right now. And the Lord has many things to say to us. That's the power of the word, the richness of the word. I'm going to pick out just 2 things from today's gospel. 2 words, you could say, or 2 messages. One is repent, and one is follow me. Repent and follow me. So let's start with repent. The very first words of Jesus when he begins his public ministry in Galilee, in fact, the very same words that his precursor used, St. John the Baptist, are these: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Sa Tagalog, mas mahaba sa Tagalog, pagsisihan ninyo, taligdan ang inyong mga kasalanan sapagkat malapit ng maghari ang Diyos. It's an interesting starting point. It's really something to ponder. We are to start building by tearing down. We welcome the kingdom of God by rejecting the reign of sin. That's repentance, right? Turning away from sin, turning toward God. This is perhaps not the way we would think of starting as a starting point. You know, modern communications techniques, they always talk about an attention getter, something to grab people's attention, a hook. Start with something that will win them. Well, repent might not seem like the best starting point, but this distinguishes the divine word from the human word. Jesus is not just trying to get our attention, neither was John the Baptist. Jesus was not just giving more human words. He was not giving us internet slop. He was giving us the word of life. He was giving us divine light. And we cannot receive that light, we cannot receive that life if we are cluttered or clinging to darkness or enslaved or dead in sin. So we have to get that garbage out of the way. That's repentance. Get that garbage out of the way. Clean up the place. And you notice every single Mass starts with this. After the initial greeting, sign of the cross and the greeting, we have the penitential rite. The priest says, brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins. My goodness, what a way to start a big public gathering. Acknowledge our sins? Yes, yes. That's how we prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. And then we all say, I confess to God and I confess to everybody that I'm a sinner. We all say it. I am a sinner. I've sinned. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. In my thoughts, in my words, in what I've done, what I failed to do. We say this publicly. We're sinners here. We all are. That's why we all have to repent. And that's why Jesus' message is for everybody. For us, for the world, for sinners, for saints, everybody. And for all time. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's a universal message. That's number one. Number two is a more particular message. It's addressed to us in a very specific and unique way. Follow me. Come after me. This is part of the power of the divine word, by the way, that it's addressed to everyone. It can be read by everyone in public. In fact, everywhere in the church all over the world, we're hearing the same scriptures. And they heard these scriptures centuries ago in far-off lands. But it can still speak to each of us in a unique and personal way. It's amazing. Well, the examples of those who follow, in this case, are the first 4 apostles. Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, and then the 2 sons of Zebedee, James and John. Ordinary Galilean fishermen on an ordinary day doing their ordinary work, caught up, so to speak, in their work, entangled in their nets, you could say, which is a symbol of what we get, how we get when we're caught up in our work, or we're over-involved in the world, we're entangled in the nets of the world. And we all get tangled in nets. I mean, the net nowadays is the internet, but we all get tangled in the world somehow. Just think of the world of social media. It's very entangling. And Jesus calls them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Sumunod kayo sa akin. Follow me. And again, we see the creative power of the divine word. This was not just another person talking to them. This word had such impact on them that it changed their lives forever. They immediately drop what they're doing and they follow him. So there's actually a two-stage process here when it comes to dropping everything. First of all, we have to drop sin. That's the repent part. But then we also have to drop, when the Lord speaks to us, we have to drop what is not sinful, but is not God's will. There's nothing wrong with fishing. There's nothing wrong with mending our nets. But if that's not what God wants us to do, then drop them. Do something else. There's nothing wrong with watching a movie. There's nothing wrong with watching sports. But if that's not what God wants us to do, drop that. Make room for something new, the new wine, the new word, the new seed, the gospel of the kingdom is what it's called, the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus says, follow me. Now, this is also addressed to everyone, but in unique ways. I said the first part, repent, that's addressed to everybody every day. We're all sinners, and we all need to repent every day. That's just basic. The word follow me is also addressed to us, and it's very clear, and yet it's not clear, because it's different for each person. It's clear that we are to follow him. Yes, that's the direction, but what? What does that mean? What does it mean to be fishers of men? What will it mean once we start following? Well, we only discover what it means if we set out on the journey, if we take the first step. We learn by doing. If we listen to the word and put it into practice, then we discover its value and its meaning. Otherwise, not. And the reason why many people don't treasure the word of God is because they don't follow it. They don't put it into practice. So it doesn't seem like it has any value. The word of God is not merely for hearing, or for hearing and forgetting. That would be even worse. It's not only for hearing, it's for listening and putting into practice. Now, does this mean that everybody who hears this gospel this afternoon must immediately quit his or her job and leave his home and family? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. For some people, yes, that is what it means. And there are witnesses of this, people who consecrate themselves to God. Sisters, brothers, the religious, missionaries, priests. Yes, they leave everything else and dedicate themselves to following him. But most people should not leave everything, especially if they are already in the place and in the work that God has assigned to them. Follow me is a word for all of us, but in practice it means different things for each person. It means serve, it means work, it means study, it means sacrifice, it means be generous, it means be patient. It means work for justice. It means serve the poor. It means foster unity. It means be humble, and much more. That we discover it as we do it. And there's much for us to discover. But we won't discover it if we don't take the first steps. So let's take the first steps. Repent first, repent, and then follow me. Follow the Lord. That's what this Sunday of the Word of God is about. That's what this National Sunday is about. National Bible Sunday is about. This is the adventure which the Word of God, this is the adventure which the Lord Himself is inviting us to take up.